This unit will provide details of the standards developing organizations that are creating standards that will be used in the HIT community. We will discover who makes what standards and for what purposes. ISO TC 215 was established in 1998 under the strong support of the U.S. and the U.K. ISO is very important since most countries require the use of an ISO standard if one exists. Many standards are available from ISO, but at a cost. Membership is through delegates representing countries. Currently, TC 215 has 29 participating countries and 20 observing countries, representing most of the regions of the world. Members are referred to as national member bodies. The U.S. is represented by the U.S. Technical Advisory Group, which includes representations from the U.S. SDOs and other interested stakeholders. TC 215 has published almost 100 standards under their direct responsibility. Balloting is done by country. There are three kinds of products, and the standards are products that come out of Technical Committee 215. The first is a technical report, which is for information only. They describe and discuss a topic. Technical specifications are similar to a standard, but do not require compliance. A technical specification is simply a strong suggestion. And then finally, international standards, which is known as a normative document in contrast to an information document, and an international standard must be followed explicitly to be compliant. Any departure from the standard makes that application non-compliant. ISO itself has many technical committees, and several are of interest to health care. Other technical committees are represented in TC 215 through a liaison arrangements. There are 30 technical committee liaisons at the present. Other organizations can also establish liaison relationship with ISO, and there are currently 10 organizational liaisons at this time. TC 215 has 8 work groups. The 9th work group, Working Group 5 on data cards, completed its work and was inactivated. Working Group 1 deals with data structure, and that is the working group that defines the standards for the electronic health record and related subjects. Working Group 2 on data interchange includes messaging standards, data types, data models, and such. Working Group 3 deals with terminology. Working Group 4 deals with privacy and security. Working Group 5 on data cards has been retired. Working Group 6 deals with pharmacy, regulatory, and adverse event reporting standards. Working Group 7 deals with connectivity to medical devices. This group works closely with IEEE and SIN on standards that connect medical devices to systems. Working Group 8 is similar to Working Group 1, and sometimes there are arguments as to whether a work item belongs in Working Group 1 or Working Group 8. Working Group 8 deals more with what an EHR is rather than its structure and its architecture. Working Group 9 is a different type of working group in that its purpose is harmonization of data standards activities among multiple SDOs. It's closely affiliated with the Joint Initiative Council, which is a collaboration, as we've seen before, of the organization of many international SDOs. SIN has a bilateral agreement with ISO that's called the Vienna Agreement, whereby SIN standards can become ISO standards and ISO standards can become SIN standards. HL7 has a pilot agreement through which HL7 standards can be submitted to TC 215 to become ISO standards. IEEE has a partnership agreement through which IEEE standards can become ISO standards. Many of the standards published by ISO TC215 have come through these arrangements with three SDOs. So, in terms of the activities of the Joint Initiative Council, standards can be created by many of the SDOs working together. Standards that are created or in process include data types, individual case safety report, EHR functional standards, the bridge data model, a glossary, and others. The purpose of the Joint Initiative Council is to create one standard for one purpose. One of the first successes of the JIC was the creation of a single standard for data types. Other activities include a standard for reporting adverse events, EHR functional model, and others. A standard moves to JIC when multiple SDOs have an interest in creating the same standard and the SDOs agree to work. Although SIN has been in existence for a long time, the health focus was created in the early 1990s. There are 27 member countries of the European Union that are members of SIN. SIN has published over 160 technical reports, technical specification, pre-standards, and European standards since the early 1990s. 18 of these standards are jointly published as ISO standards. Much of the standards work in SIN is done by paid consulting, and balloting is done by country. SIN TC215 functions with four work groups. These groups have some correlation with the work groups within TC215. Work group 1, for example, is similar to the activities of ISO work group 1, work group 6, and work group 8. Work group 2 in SIN TC251 is similar to ISO TC215 work group 3. Work group 3 in SIN is similar to ISO work group 4. And work group 4 in SIN is similar to work group 2 and work group 7. An important standard coming out of SIN is SIN standard EN13606. The EN means a European National Standards. The reference model defined in part 1 is different than the HL7 reference information model and has created some harmonization problems. Reference information models are important because they are the basis from which the data parts of standards are created and are key to interoperability. Part 1 also defines the architect for an EHR. In this standard, the EHR is defined as a hierarchical structure of components or folders, similar to what you might have in a paper chart, in which a single encounter would be a folder, and a collection of folders would create the EHR. Archetypes are data structures, such as the components that are part of a blood pressure measurement. The UK uses these archetypes as part of the data definition and data interchange. Europe is now moving toward the use of archetypes. Again, there is competition between HL7's template and detailed clinical models and the archetype. However, efforts are being made to harmonize these activities. Part 5 competes with the HL7 messaging standard, but actually there is little use of the 13606 specification at this time. Other parts of 13606 are not in significant use at this time. HL7 was formed in 1987. The name Health Level 7 comes from two terms. First of all, health represents the domain of focus and includes both clinical and administrative data. 11.7 refers to the highest level of the ISO communications model for open systems interconnection, OSI, that you have learned about in a previous unit. This is the application level. Now, the truth is HL7 really works in more than one of the OSI levels, dropping down into level 6. That includes the syntax. HL7 also takes advantage of standards within the other levels of the OSI stack. HL7 is in use in most hospitals in the United States and an increasing number of clinics and doctors' offices. HL7 is governed by a board of 15 members, including 4 officers, a chair, a vice chair, a secretary, and a treasurer. The organization is also supported by staff, which includes a chief executive officer, current Dr. Charles Jaffe, and an executive director, Mark McDougall. The HL7 is also supported by a chief technology officer, that is John Quinn. An external advisory council provides advice to the organization. HL7 is ANSI accredited and is an ISO partner, as we have previously. The technical organizational structure of HL7 includes 4 steering divisions. Each has a number of work groups that make up that division, and in the next 4 slides, we'll look at these 4 steering divisions in some detail. They're grouped by like work, and the steering divisions provide the composition and leadership in the technical steering committee, which provides the technical leadership of HL7. The technical steering committee is led by a volunteer, the TSC chair, and also by the HL7 chief technical officer. The domain experts steering group includes all of the domain specific activities. This group is the most clinical group on HL7 and brings the clinical community into the standards making process. If you will look through these areas, you will see the kinds of standards that are part of HL7, and this list of domain experts continues to increase as other clinical groups bring their standards requirement and develop those requirements within the foundation and technology steering division is much more obviously a technical committee. And this group builds the pieces that are basic to the technology, and the product of foundation and technology is used by the other steering groups, domain experts, and structure and semantic design work groups to actually construct the messages. The ITS, implementable technology specification, defines the characteristics and syntax for messages. This group delivers the methodology for creating messages for the exchange of data between sites, a sender and a receiver. And you can again see the other technical aspects of standards developed within HL7. The structure and semantic design includes standards, both administrative and service related standards. Orders and observation deals with laboratory ordering and result reporting. Clinical decision support deals with decision support standards that are required for meaningful use and other things. The details of the products of these work groups will be discussed in following slides. The technical and support services has work groups who focus on tools and products that make HL7 successful in doing their work. For instance, publishing makes sure that there are tools and processes for publishing the standards. The work groups in this division do not develop HL7 products as such. They develop tools so that others can do so. version 2.x messaging standards are the first standards produced by HL7. In fact, these messaging standards are the purpose for HL7 coming into existence to support the development of hospital information systems by best-of-breed systems. Over 90% of the hospitals in the United States use version 2.x standards. These messaging standards will be discussed in detail in another unit. Connectivity and sharing data use the messaging standards. Version 3.0 standards, again, that will be discussed in a future unit, are model-based standards in opposition to version 2 that's not model-based. The master file structure infrastructure standards permit the exchange of file, such as data dictionaries, vocabularies, and other resources among participants. Role-based access control is very important for privacy and security. These standards define who can have access to data based on what role they play in that patient. As noted, the reference information model is the base for HL7 model-based standards, including the HL7 V3 messaging and the clinical document architecture to be discussed later. The REM is the model to which all components of HL7 data-related standards are linked, with the exception of version 2.x messaging. The prime components of the REM are entities, the roles of the entity, acts, and the participation of the entity with the act. Data types are essential to interoperability. They can be as simple as a date, is expressed as day, month, year, or is it month, day, year? Is year expressed as a two-digit number, or is it expressed as a four-digit number? Is time a 12-hour clock with AM or PM, or is it a 24-hour clock? What is a time zone, and how is it expressed? The basic data types are the one that you might use in a computer program: binary, numeric, integer, floating point, character, text, string, date, time, and so forth. The common message element type, or CMET, defines commonly used constructs such as a telephone number, a person, a name, or an address. CMETs are reusable data structures and have great value, particularly in the international setting where the structure of names may be considerably different. The XML implementation technology specification for structures defines the constructs for the XML syntax within HL7 messaging. These standards move into the application area. The EHR functional model defines the functionality required for an EHR system. Different applications are addressed by creating profiles or implementation guides based on the EHR functional model for various domains and care settings. The standard is the basis for certification of each EHRs in the U.S. and is now being used in other countries as well. This topic will be discussed in detail in later units. The behavioral health functional model and the child health functional model are examples of profiling the basic standard for a specific domain. Scheduling permits the exchange of appointment and diagnostic test scheduling among units. Notifiable conditions reporting defines the required reporting, for example, for communicable disease, infectious disease, STDs, and such. The genomic standard is rapidly being used for sharing family histories, constructing family trees. The clinical document architecture is the standard for creating documents, and this will be covered in detail in a subsequent subunit of this unit. Its use is becoming worldwide and permits a measure of conformance and integrity in the exchange of data. The CDA will be discussed in detail, as I said, in a later unit. The CCD is a specialization of CDA. In a sense, it is an implementation guide that that tells you very specifically what to put into the CDA, and it is for the exchange of summary patient data. The decision support products can also be addressed, will be addressed in detail in later units. Clinical decision support systems are important, not only for meaningful use, but for applying knowledge to data to provide information. The Arden syntax and the virtual medical record permit a services-oriented architectural approach to decision support through a mappable interface to any EHR system. Jello is a language for creating clinical guidelines. InfoButton is a standard for attaching knowledge and the presentation of the knowledge for any data element. This standard has been quickly used by vendors to add value to their product. These regulated product standards have been influenced by regulatory bodies such as the FDA and the European Medicines Agency. Structured product labeling is a standard for defining what you get on the small print piece of paper that's included in your drug package. It addresses such things as the potential side effects, the ingredients of the drug, dosing instructions, precautions, and the such. The SPL provides data in a structured way that can be used in a computable manner. The annotated ECG includes the tracing, the measurements, and the comments in a structured way. The individual case safety report serves to report drug-caused adverse events. The standard is being used internationally by both the FDA and the ICH/EMA. Other standards relate to drug trials and for the submission of regulated products. Product details to the FDA. The common product model accommodates and expanding types of models, including devices and the clinical context object workgroup has created a set of standards that takes the patient ID and passes it to other systems, retrieves that patient record in those other systems, and links it to the current system. In essence, this standard permits single sign-on. The user is authenticated across the different systems. If a site is supported by multiple different systems, CCAL will provide access to the same patient's data across the different applications without having to log on to each of those systems and independently bringing up that patient's record. CCAL is a tremendous time saver. And other parts of CCAL provide additional functionality across multiple systems and applications. An implementation guide defines specifically what is required in the use of a standard. The implementation guide removes optionality. For example, it states what data elements are required and when. It defines specifically what vocabularies are to be used. It defines when data is exchanged. With a well-written implementation guide, interoperability can be achieved across a group using the implementation guide. The rules for claim attachments is defined by CMS. It specifies what clinical or administrative data is to be sent supporting the claim. An implementation guide defines the rules for providing security using the Internet. Other IGs define security requirements in a variety of settings. The CCD is an implementation guide that's used for exchanging patient summary data. Several HL7 standards will be required by Health and Human Services as part of the meaningful use. You're likely to encounter these standards in your job as an IT person. We will discuss all of these standards in other parts of this component, but you can see the specifics of what is required by the U.S. government. CDISC is an organization started mainly by pharmaceutical companies. It's a research-based organization and created to support clinical trials. Most of the standards define data elements used in research and in clinical trials. The Study Data Tabulation Model, SDTM, defines the data elements that are used in clinical trials. ATOM defines statistical analyses that are performed on clinical trials data. Other standards include a data model, a lab data model, and terminology for clinical trials. If you work in a setting that uses barcodes, you are likely to use a GS1 standard. GS1 creates a unit identifier that can exist throughout the supply chain. Ideally, this standard will be used from product creation to product use. The GS1 ID system enhances traceability, the ability to trace a product through its life cycle. The RFID is the radio frequency identifier, and it's a badge-like device that contains an RF transmitter that transmits the identity indicated on the card. It may be used to track people, including physicians and patients, equipment, and supplies. So, what we have learned in this unit? There are many SDOs, both national and international, that create necessary standards for interoperability. The challenge exists that there are both overlapping and competing standards, and there are gaps in the required standards. Each SDO has its own focus, but in time, most SDOs have creeping scope. It's interesting that we have so many SDOs because producing standards is an expensive task. Most SDOs have budgets in the $1 million range, and many companies spend hundreds of thousands of dollars annually to participate in making standards. Consequently, there are limited resources in created standards, so why not work together? The making of standards has created other businesses, including consultants who will teach you how to use standards and educators that will teach you about standards. You won't remember the details of every one of the SDOs in this section, but you will have some familiarity with the names, and when you hear one of the names, such as HL7, you will have some idea that is, hey, that's something that I've heard about. And you will have some idea of the kinds of standards that are produced. But the importance of standards are such that much of this component will continually refer back to some of the standards that are created by the SDOs that we have discussed here.